Welcome to the Deep Waters Podcast.
We pray that Christ is at the beginning, the middle, and the end of all we do. May openness and the shalom of God mark our discussions as we engage in conversations about the fresh move of God. And may our hearts be drawn into unity. And in all things, may this shape us to look more like you, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us, listener. Go ahead and settle into whatever task is before you, and keep your ears wide open, because this is about to be a really fire conversation.
So good.
And enjoy the Deep Waters Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another wonderful conversation with our very own dripping with anointing, Megan Bailey.
I thought you forgot my name for a second there. I was like, it's
very
Megan.
Own.
No, I was like, what title did I want to give you? Elder, no. Prophet, queen.
Yeah, that's how I'm known at home. Yeah. I'm kidding.
That's fun. No, seriously, thank you for giving us your time. Yeah. We are in a series. We didn't plan to be in this series, but classic.
But God.
Holy Spirit just is moving in really exciting ways. And we thought it would be important to just take some time to really dive into the Holy Spirit baptism, theology, stories, biblical evidence for where we land in this conversation. And I imagine that there are some people that are listening to this podcast that don't even know what to begin to think when we talk about Holy Spirit baptism. Are they like, oh, that's when I got baptized in water and mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit lives in me because I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that. And then there's probably differing views on whether it's something that happens once right. or repeatedly, whether it has to look a particular way and it didn't happen unless it looks that way. I imagine we land in a bunch of different camps.
Yeah.
So I would love for this conversation to just be an open space for us to wrestle and ask some questions and, hopefully be edified
yeah.
with more than anything, a greater hunger and desire for Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And I think a non-judgment for our Christian brothers and sisters. Every now and again, conversations like this in my experience can become divisive. And I think without intending to say things like, oh, is that a Spirit-filled church? Mm-hmm. Are they Spirit-filled Christians?
Full gospel.
Yeah. Which is like, are they doing the stuff that we exclusively know as the real church, and everybody who isn't doing it, like, aren't even our brothers and sisters wow. in the faith.
Right.
And we don't want at all to be divisive in this conversation. Well, at least I don't want to. Right. I don't know what you're coming
to the room. I'm coming to divide.
Jesus said that at one point.
He did.
Yeah, hard words.
Dang.
So anyway, we'll go in. Yeah. And if you want to provoke and push buttons and share testimonies and whatever, we're just here for it. But if you don't know, listener, who Megan Bailey is, she is an incredible leader in our community with phenomenal amounts of wisdom and prophetic grace on her life to lead not only like prophetic spaces and to really powerful encounters with the Lord, but also to mold and shape prophetic culture at a more grand level. That's a mantle that rests on her life. And so she has a lot of wisdom and experience and value to bring to this conversation that God has given her. So we honor that in you, Megan.
Thanks.
And are really thankful that you could be with us.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, praise God.
Yeah.
We figured you'd be the good person to invite on this one. This was a listener submitted question.
Mm.
Me being the listener.
I was like,
yeah, no, I wish it was, more organic than that. But literally we're like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, I know nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that.
So good.
So that's why I brought you all here today.
That's great.
Love it.
Jace. Q. curating us.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you even begin to start to describe what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for someone who's not familiar with that language?
Yeah. It's a really good question. I think it's a really important question. Like you said in the beginning, it's not salvific, meaning when we can be not baptized in the Holy Spirit and still love Jesus, have a vibrant relationship with Jesus. But I would say that we're living a limited Christian experience if we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I like to tell people, remember the Holy Spirit is a person. So this is about a relationship with God, that it's a gift that Jesus gave when he ascended, when he died and he was risen from the dead and he ascended. He said to his disciples, his own disciples who had already seen miracles and seen all of these things and walked with Jesus and done ministry with Jesus, he said to his disciples, don't go anywhere, don't leave Jerusalem until you're baptized with power from on high. And so they're waiting around and they have this commission from Jesus, which that was not just for the disciples at the time, it's for every believer. And I tell people, the day that you give your life to Jesus is the most important day of your life. I would argue that possibly the second most important day in your Christian walk is the day that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this is when you're born again, when you give your life to Jesus, which some people call like the baptism of Jesus. Some people say that there's three baptisms. There's the baptism of Jesus, which is salvation, the baptism in water, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm. When you give your life to Jesus, the Spirit comes and indwells you. And I would say that the baptism of the Spirit is like an infilling for the work of ministry. So it's not as much for you as it is for other people. So this is when you have a life of power according to Jesus. You have, so some of the fruits of allowing the Spirit to fill you and be baptized by the Spirit is a life of power and a life of even just deeper communion with the Spirit of God. Now you can have a genuine relationship with the Spirit of God without being filled with the Spirit, but I would say it's almost like the capacity to host him is enlarged because it's for the sake of like the being a witness to the end of the earth. That's what Jesus said in Acts 1.
That's great.
It's really good.
Really exciting.
No, it's great. No, I yawned. I didn't mean to yawn.
Just kidding.
In order to prepare for this, listened to and read a handful of scriptures. And one that I did was 1 John chapter 4. And in there, it uses a lot of language like, it's talking about discerning different kinds of spirits and false teachers. And it says, you can know that this is of God when the person is confessing that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and really did the things that we say he did according to the gospel, that we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord by the Spirit who lives inside of us. So yeah, if it's helpful, there's some biblical language that people have thrown on these terms. One is being sealed in the Spirit that comes to us from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. That is something that happens, would you say, at that moment of, you called it the baptism of Jesus.
Yeah, the salvation experience. Mm-hmm. Because that Ephesians 1 scripture is about like the guarantee of that which is to come. So that comes when we turn our lives to Jesus, which is the foreshadowing of the eventual marriage. The Holy Spirit is the sealing, the guarantee.
And
so
the down payment.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And
that's
so
good.
So the infilling and the indwelling are two different experiences, if you could say it that way.
Yeah. And those words are helpful because indwelling, the Spirit dwells within
and
you.
And he will never leave you or forsake you.
Period. You've given your life to Jesus and you call him Lord. You never have to ask the question, is the Holy Spirit in me?
Right.
The answer is yes.
Yep.
And are you filled? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? So dwelling and filling then becomes a distinction here between that moment of baptism in Jesus and baptism of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, where do we get this happening in the Bible? If we look at Ephesians chapter 1:13 is a good example of being sealed in the Spirit. Show us some stories in the Bible where people are filled.
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, even in the end of Luke, Jesus, that's when he tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And I probably should have had this ready.
Oh, yeah.
Let me just turn to it.
It's really okay.
For the record, we didn't give Megan any heads up on how this conversation
was
going to go.
I'm on the fly, guys.
Also, yeah.
This is in me.
Just ask her. Yeah, I'm like, I know it's in you, but I'm like, I have no idea.
I know. It's so impressive because it is just in you. I mean, I'm looking at the Bible. It makes sense that it's in you because this Bible is so marked up and well-loved.
It's an oldie. It's been through a lot. We've been through a lot, me and this word. In the end of Luke 24... verse 49, it says, behold, I send the promise. So before Jesus had said, okay, wait, but it says here, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And then the disciples saw him leave. So they're gathered around.
Crazy.
And then in Acts 1,
yeah.
Jesus,
they're remembering, they're assembled together and they're waiting. They're waiting for the promise of the Father. And you think about the promise of the Father was so that we could be endued with power. So it says here, for John truly baptized with, this is what Jesus said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, when they'd come together, they were praying. And I'm just going to skip down to verse 8, but it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so then they're gathered together, and you know what happens. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm. They're filled with power. There's a mighty, there's a roar. There's a roar. Like
wow.
The Spirit, it says that the Spirit comes and that there's a sound, and that sound is basically, I have in my Bible, it's a roar of a sea wave. So think of like this crashing roar.
Yeah.
And so you can even have expectations of having some sort of like phenomena when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, just like in the upper room. Not always. Some people don't feel anything when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here the disciples are experiencing a mighty rushing wind that was so loud that I've often wondered. So they leave this house after they're baptized and people hear them speaking in tongues. Why were they all gathered? Was it because they heard the sound of the Spirit, that mighty rush? And they're like, what's happening over there? And they gathered. But this is one of the, and then they were witnesses to the ends of the earth. And we see that they were endued with extraordinary power. So you can even argue that some people teach that in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people would say that that's how you get even endued with power, and moving in the gifts of the Spirit is from the infilling of the Spirit. So you can move in those gifts to some degree, but basically, if you can think about being filled with the Spirit, these gifts also come to life. And you see this happening real time in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens in Acts 2. It happens in when Peter comes to Cornelius's house. And there's actually one in Acts 8 too. Let me just see.
Yeah. Philip in Samaria.
Yes. And they're asking like, have you been baptized? Have you only? Okay, so here it is, Acts 8. So they're going, the disciples are going into Samaria, and they had heard Samaria received the word of God. This is verse 14, chapter 8. And it says, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm.
So that's where I get that term, the baptism of Jesus. Mm-hmm. They had only been saved. So that implies that there's another baptism.
Mm.
And then you see in Acts 10 where Peter comes to Cornelius's house.
I love you.
You're
amazing. You're doing such a great job.
I'm like letting I want the word to speak.
Yeah, like, no, and I love that.
Because
it's so
you get
good.
A lot of opinions on this specific topic, and there's a lot of wounding on this topic. And so I want the scripture to speak for itself. And then there's more, but Acts 10, there's that you see three different baptisms. You see them giving their lives to Jesus. You see them getting baptized in water. And then you see here that they also were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had come on them and they spoke in tongues. And that's when it blew all the Jews' minds because they said, oh my gosh, we see that God is no respecter. There's yes. no partiality. Mm-hmm. He's no respecter of persons. What we've experienced in the Holy Spirit, he's also doing to the Gentiles. And that was revolutionary for us sitting here right now today.
Yeah.
Right?
Praise totally. God for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Acts chapter 10, they're filled with the Holy Spirit before their baptism in water.
First.
Which is...
Yeah, well, first before the baptism part.
Yes.
Right, after well, receiving I guess Jesus.
I wanted to point that out because this is anything but a really structured, predictable, regimented experience. Yeah. Even here, just in the book of Acts, we see it happen in a bunch of different ways. On Jews who are anticipating it, on a group of Gentiles who are just listening to Peter preach the gospel, and then they get hit. Like, Peter didn't lay hands on them. But then so many other places, it comes from the laying on of hands. Like
correct.
In Acts chapter 8,
yep.
with Samaria, and sometimes tongues follows mm-hmm. and other times it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
At least explicitly, we're not told in scripture that tongues follows every time. So I like the diversity of the experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would even just argue that there is a pretty strong case for tongues. I know that's been like a kind of abused topic yeah. as well, mm-hmm. where people have gone as far to say like, oh, you must not have been baptized in the Holy Spirit because you don't speak in tongues. And I know that that's an abuse, so I'm gonna give that preface.
No,
but then
that.
If you go through every circumstance in Acts, the only time it doesn't explicitly talk about that tongues followed was when Simon the sorcerer, whatever he saw, he wanted to pay. So you could make deductions, while it's not explicit, something he did see that was otherworldly, he wanted to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So... and we could do a whole other podcast on why God would want you to talk in tongues, because it's one of the most yeah. intimate ways to connect. It's like the umbilical cord to the heart of God.
Mm.
It's unadulterated, unfiltered.
Wow.
It's so powerful. And I think the enemy has worked really hard to pervert it.
Yeah.
So I think we're doing a disjustice if we don't at least present, because my experience was I got born again and Scott and I, my husband and I, got mentored by this couple, and they said, hey, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, I've never heard of that. So they handed wow. me a photocopied book, which is totally illegal. And I read it, and it had nothing to do with speaking in tongues. I didn't know the scriptures. I read it and I was like, okay, so I guess I'm going to lay hands on myself. So in my kitchen, I laid hands on myself. And I asked the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And I had my first encounter with what I would call like unadulterated electricity.
Whoa.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know what's happening to me right now. I didn't have any grid. I'm sitting there in my kitchen.
Wow.
And I had a genuine baptism. And it wasn't until probably 4 years later that someone's like, you know that you can speak in tongues, right? Like that's part of the gift that God gives
yeah.
as a communion, as a pure spirit to spirit communion with him. And so they led me through these scriptures and I was like, I didn't know. And so then they prayed that I would be filled again, which is kind of the continuation of the filling. It's not just a one and done.
Yeah.
And I spoke in tongues and my life changed dramatically.
Wow.
Because can I just give a tiny plug for a
Please.
Second?
No, this is great. Yeah,
this yeah, is like, great. So it says in the word of God that when you pray in a tongue, you edify yourself. So tongues essentially is like such a beautiful tool. If I'm feeling like down or just having like one of those like kind of drab days, I pray in the spirit because it's like giving yourself the best prophetic word. It's edification.
Wow.
That's and then there's
1 Corinthians 14,
yeah.
I think.
And also in 1 Corinthians 14.
Wanted to reference
oh
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's keep throwing those references. Yeah.
Good.
There's a few more in 1 Corinthians 14 that talks about like you're giving thanks to God, you're blessing God.
Mm.
Romans 8 says that you don't know how to pray as you ought. The Spirit helps you make intercession with groans and uttering. So like there's so many there. It's like the way that you pray outside of even like your own knowledge and your own flesh and often words fall short in mm-hmm. prayer.
Yeah.
So that's like a super small plug. I'd love to give it more, but
good.
But
yeah, we could do.
But
tons.
I think to offer the whole experience, and then of course people's experiences are different and how they come. Mm-hmm. And even somebody I got to pray for, it was last May. The Lord said he's going to come and meet me. So I went and asked him if he knew Jesus, and he didn't, presented the gospel, and he had never even read the Bible. And I said, that night I had actually preached on the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and get your language to pray with God? And he said, yeah. And I prayed and he got filled, and he said, I don't know what's happening to me. And he had this powerful encounter with the presence of God and started speaking in tongues. And I didn't even talk to him about like anything. And he'd never even read the Bible.
Wow.
And then I was like, now yeah. you need to get baptized in water.
Yeah.
So it kind of happened like Cornelius's family in that order. Right. And then I went and got him a Bible, and I said, read in John so you can meet who you just like gave your life to, Jesus. And then yeah. read in Acts so you can find out what just happened to you in yeah. the Spirit. So
that's great.
It's really such a powerful wow. thing. So, yeah.
I'm wondering, is there anywhere you want to inject the idea that tongues is often, not often in our experience, at least in mine, but often in Scripture, it's another human language where people who are filled with the gift of tongues are speaking like a language of other humans living on the earth at that time, but that they didn't know already. And I know there are,
yeah.
that's for sure happening in the church today globally.
Yep.
I personally haven't experienced it, but I know people who have. Do you want to touch that at all?
Yeah. Well, so
if we were doing a whole podcast on tongues,
yeah,
we'd dive
no,
way deeper into
I
this
just
stuff.
Heard someone say this, and I hadn't heard this before, but he explicitly said there's three different kinds of tongues. There's the tongue that you're speaking the mysteries of God, which is in 1 Corinthians 14. There's the tongue that you're speaking actually in another language, which is what we see here in Acts 2.
Yeah.
And then the third tongue is the actual gift of tongues that needs interpretation from 1 Corinthians 12.
Oh, interesting.
So, and cool. then the word different kinds of tongues is italicized in the word there, which I'm kind of geeking out right now.
That's great.
This is great.
That's why
hopefully
we
haven't glazed
do.
Over.
Wonderful.
But that is a different kind of tongue that is not your personal language to God. It comes on you to benefit someone else. That's why it needs interpretation. Mm-hmm. I'm not just praying or singing in the Spirit,
yeah.
which is like a form of worship. Mm. I'm actually delivering a word from God. So he had delineated that into like three different types of tongues, which I was like, that makes sense. You see that in the word. I hadn't heard of that explicitly taught in yeah. that in that way, but I
That's
like that
good.
Thought. Because then we're not limiting it to this has to be a known language.
Right.
Right. Because otherwise, why would it say in 1 Corinthians 14 that I'm praying out the mysteries of God?
Amen.
Right.
And
there's more there.
It
yeah.
opens the opportunity for it to be another earthly language. If all you know is the mysteries of God kind of tongue.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're speaking Portuguese in Mozambique, which I know people who that's happened to.
Same.
And they're like, what do I do with what is this? And it's like, oh, that is a different kind of tongue. So God has a precedent for doing that to people.
Agree. And this is more philosophical, but what language do you think we're going to be speaking in heaven?
Whoa. I mean, it's
like
just
it's
Hebrew
probably not
going to
be. Yeah, probably Hebrew. I'm like,
don't
it's definitely
think?
Not going to be English.
Yeah.
Hebrew. Okay.
But that's obviously my bias.
That's actually, there's a strong case for that, you know,
yeah,
or we could be like praying, like speaking in a tongue that we all know, like a spiritual tongue.
Whoa.
I don't know,
like a special universal.
Yeah,
language.
It's yeah, it's yeah. more of a philosophical question, but don't
yeah,
label
yeah.
me a heretic on that one.
I love all of this, and like I hear all that, and I look at you know the New Testament and can see those different types of tongues. But I think something that's hard for me, or has been hard for me in the past, is it's not explicitly laid out there as like you will have this personal tongue with the Lord. And I think that's where I sometimes get
sure.
hung up on when I'm trying, even when I'm like trying to answer questions about tongues, I'm like, I don't really know. I know it's like in there. And so I'm thankful that you're laying this out, but that's just a tension that I feel like some listeners are going to feel is like, yeah, but it sounds like it's just going to be a foreign language, or like, I don't get this whole like weird gibberishy groaning thing, you know?
Yeah.
And
I'm
like, what do you kind of say to that person? That's like, why isn't this laid out more explicitly in the New Testament?
Well, I mean, I think that, like, for me, I'm a little more black and white thinker, where Romans 8 lays that out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like where it says Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Yeah. So you look up groanings, it's like inarticulable speech.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you think about even just the way that the disciples came out of the upper room, people thought they were drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something that's like, maybe, how do I word this? I'm trying to think how to word this. It's maybe not as like controlled as people would prefer it.
Mm-hmm.
If I could say
that's
it that
fair.
Way.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. Yeah.
It's good.
But as far as like how we fill the space of a tongue, yeah, I think that there's like this scripture right here, and then just even what you see here, like they're praying, it says they're praying in tongues, and how you fill that word tongue.
Yeah.
It's been like one of the heritages passed down from the beginning of like of church history.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
And which is good. Yeah.
I think it's probably worth saying two things are coming to my mind to answer your question, Jace. One is we think in a very scientific, westernized, like show me an instruction manual kind of culture.
Yes, please.
Where it's all broken down and there's subpoints and it's scientific and makes sense and detailed.
Yeah.
The Bible is not that. I would say the Bible is not that anywhere. If it is that anywhere, it's like when it's talking about how the tabernacle or the temple are being constructed, but even that, is being used by the biblical authors and constructors to convey much greater, deeper meanings that are all designed for us to meditate on them. Mm-hmm. So, it's just helpful to remember the Bible's a different kind of literature. It's not just an instruction manual to how to be a Christian in the way that we would write one today in America, in the West. I'm trying to think of a fun example to make it light, but tongues were just happening in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that like you probably didn't need someone to explain to you how to take care of the poor. Because that was just happening. It was like, I'm not going to write down instructions for how to do that because people are doing that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have even occurred probably to Paul or anyone else to say, hey, this is how this works because it's just happening. And then it's like, hey, how do we pastor this? Mm-hmm. Which is what Paul's doing in 1 Corinthians, where it's like
heavily.
A lot of you guys are speaking in tongues as a spiritual flex over other people in a congregation. And that's really proud. And actually, tongues is meant for like private spaces, unless it can be interpreted or yada, yada. Yeah. And you see like his pastoral heart starting to guide them. But even in that, what he's not doing is explaining to them what tongues is and how they're supposed to engage with it. In every aspect, he's just pastoring their specific church's problem.
That's really good, Benji.
So just knowing that of the Bible, I think helps, because we're going to have a lot of unanswered questions when we come to scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where we have the joy of getting to like wrestle with the Lord and hear one another's experience. And I know like my experience with tongues is really different than a bunch of other people's, and I celebrate all of the diversity in that. Mm-hmm. And another thing, if I can say really quick while I still have the mic, that at Riverhouse, you're going to take it from me. At Riverhouse, we don't have a strong stance, at least as far as I'm aware. You're the elder here, Megan.
There is not a strong stance on that.
On whether you are decisively baptized in the Spirit because you manifest in the gift of tongues. Like a more traditional Pentecostal church would hold that view. If you don't have the gift of tongues, then you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Tends to be that theology. And there's another theology that says the gift of tongues is given to some people who are filled, but some people who are filled don't get the gift of tongues.
Right.
And we hold both of those within our congregation and hold the freedom to have that conversation openly. So we're not trying to say this is how you have to think about it. We're just Correct. Trying to acknowledge it as a conversation, and it's worth having.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's not going to be something that divides us.
Right. Well, especially if you think about the benefits and what God intends, mm-hmm. you know, it would mm-hmm. almost seem like he wouldn't get his inheritance for sending the gift, you know, if we're not going to use the gift that he's giving us.
Right.
And yeah, like there's so many nuances even within like the scripture that people say, like, do all speak in tongues? No, that's like the ministerial side of tongues. Mm. So, but we don't want to make this all about tongues, which,
yeah.
like, because the baptism of the Spirit yeah. is the empowerment of the believer. And you frankly have to be able to walk in power.
Wow.
In order to be an overcoming Christian.
Hmm. That's the bottom line.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when you think about, like, Jesus said, I want you to do this so that you can be witnesses, AKA martyrs, to the ends of the earth. In our own strength, we can't do that. We can't, largely, I would even just argue that much of the Western church has been impotent because we don't have any power. And it's not that we go around, like, you know, wielding swords like megalomaniacs, but we have to not have a form of godliness. We have to have godliness and power. So
that's good.
The Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit is so essential for living an overcoming life, for helping others overcome and moving in even the gifts that help other people overcome and walk in greater levels of freedom.
We have a course that we offer every now and again called What We Believe, and it's just a basics of like Christian theology class. And in that course, Jordan Werner, our wonderful pastor, does a teaching just on the Holy Spirit baptism. And a quote that I snagged from that was this. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes in Holy Spirit baptism, he endows someone with power, which is then expressed through the charismata, which is the Greek word for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So just hear the centrality of power, like what you just described there.
Yeah.
And then Jordan has this really great metaphor that I found really helpful. Think of a cup. It contains water. If you put some water in it, that water dwells in that cup, but it might not be filled. And a way that we can measure whether the cup is filled is whether it's overflowing.
That's it.
If the things around the cup are getting wet,
yeah,
then it's full. It's filled to overflowing. My cup runneth over, you know. And I desire for all Christians to be that. And I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is essentially that. Would you say that, like, we're spilling out in all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we find in Romans 12 or 1 Corinthians 12? And so if there's someone who claims that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and yet aren't exemplifying power, they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, would you say? And also, I'm wondering, where does love fit in with that? Because 1 Corinthians 13
right.
is so heartbeat essential there.
Right. Right in the middle of the gifting chapters, which is not an accident.
Right.
So I, if somebody says, like, I don't know that overcoming power and I've had an experience with the baptism of the Spirit, I go right to, well, let's get filled again. Because when especially like Ephesians 5, there's a few references, but Ephesians 5 is coming to mind where it says, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That verb is a continual filling.
Wow.
A continual. So it's not one and done.
Yeah.
So my personal aim is I want to minister out of the overflow, which comes from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the continual infilling of the Spirit. And if I sense that I'm not running on that, then I take a time out and I go and I get filled.
That's really good.
Because you see, the disciples did this. Like, they're, you know, breaking out of prison cells and then they actually pray to get filled so they can have more boldness. You know what I mean? Like, they needed that. Mm-hmm. And so how much more do we need that? So someone who says, hey, I'm not walking in power, just say, let's get you filled up again.
Yeah.
You know, and I, wow. the same with myself. Like I have the same principles that I govern with myself. So yeah. I wouldn't say, no, you're not, you weren't baptized yeah. in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, sure.
Just say, let's just ask that he fills you with power. He desires mm-hmm. that so that we would be effective witnesses. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, an indictment on the church right now is we need to be effective witnesses. And part of that is the Lord's like, this is the tool I've given you, the wow. promise of the Father to endow you. So anyway.
That's really good. I feel like I was supposed to speak to the person that says we're given, or is kind of asking the question or listening to this podcast, like, well, we're given the Spirit without measure. So why do I need to ask for more? But I, to that person, you have to hold in tension these other scriptures that say we have to be infilled. And I think it's probably less of, you know, God just giving just a little bit of himself or a little bit more Holy Spirit here, right. just holding back.
Because he's not withholding any good thing.
He's not withholding any good thing. So it's probably us being open and willing to be filled, you know? And so maybe it's those moments that, I don't know, this could be completely theologically wrong, but like, I'll keep going until I'm done talking.
Please.
until I'm done.
No, but like that, so like, you know, the Holy Spirit's always like ready to pour out, but mm-hmm. if we're not open and willing and filling, we're going to lose our power. And so it takes a recentering of us. I don't know if this is good language or not. To then be filled. That's yeah. all I have to say. Maybe
that's good.
Bad.
I mean, so
correct it.
I don't know where I land on this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's two things that I've heard. One is that we're leaky.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fair. The deficiency or the lack of the Father pouring out. It's just that we're leaky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. what some people say.
Mm-hmm.
Then other people use the scripture. What is it? John 3, where it says that that Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. I forget where that is exactly. Don't quote me. But some people, and I'm not saying where I land on this. I'm just saying this is what some teachers teach, mm-hmm. that was specifically Jesus. Yeah. And so he was all the gifts. Mm-hmm. He was all of the office gifts perfectly. We only have a measure.
Yeah.
And so we've been given a measure of faith. We prophesy okay. in proportion to our faith. So
interesting.
So wow. some people say that's why we need to be filled, because Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. That wasn't. And then some people argue, just like when we say we have the mind of Christ, that's corporate.
Yeah.
Some people say we corporately yeah. have the Spirit without measure, not you individually. Yeah. Otherwise, why would you need to be filled again?
Mm-hmm. Why would I need the church too?
Or that's exactly it.
Yeah.
And some people actually say that. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
That's,
no.
that's beside the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's the most heretical thought well, that's come up today.
No, but
that you can do a Christianity alone is a lie yeah, from Satan.
And I am not saying that right now. That's what I'm just
right,
like,
no,
acknowledging.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, that, but that yeah, is okay. that is a blind spot yeah. of the theology of like, oh, I've been given the Spirit without measure. So some people teach that that was Jesus, perfectly
okay.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
No, and I don't even know where that verse was
I know,
in
I
scripture.
To...
I just pulled it up. It is John 3.
Oh,
and
yay.
So,
praise
and
the Lord.
So
you're brilliant.
I would have quoted that verse as like somewhere in the New Testament it says that we are given the Spirit without measure, which is wrong and a misquote and I'm a false prophet. I'm sorry.
No.
So, yeah. No, this is so good. This is actually great. I love this, even the corporate idea, honestly. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know how much of this to read, but it...
You don't have to if you just want to.
Yeah, just if you want to look it up, it's John 3, start around verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Let's skip a little bit. There's just, you kind of get this riddly, wonderful scripture type language. And then in verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. And the question is that Jesus?
Yeah.
Or is that the person that God sends, aka the Christian?
Or is that the corporate body?
Or
that's
the
what some
collective.
People argue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Father loves the Son is the very next line.
Right.
And has given things into his hand. I haven't heard that interpretation, but I can see how you get there. He who believes in the Son, eternal life. So I could also see how there's a little bit of a yes and potentially.
Totally.
And this is yeah. something that I wanted to read also out of John 3 while we're in it. Might as well send it. I just, God is so much more mysterious and brilliant and like box breaking than we give him credit for. And we do want to like make sense of it.
Yeah.
And this is a moment where Jesus is hanging out with a guy who made sense of everything, but was still asking questions. Praise God for Nicodemus's questions. Because in John chapter 3, Nicodemus and Jesus are chatting. There's this whole baptism again thing. Nicodemus is confused. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. To me, that just injects a lot of mystery into the workings of the Holy Spirit in the moments surrounding salvation and the way that we give our lives to him. But did we give our lives to him because he enabled us by his grace to do that? Because we're empowered by his love to love him in the first place. And there's just all of this mystery. Sorry, I didn't mean to sound Calvinist there, but there's arguments. And I just want to say that these things can't fit in small boxes.
Yeah.
And I like Jesus' words there about the wind. Like, you can't track it down.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and even your life is not your own.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that speaks to that, too.
Would you correct anything that I just said?
Please.
No? No? Okay, no.
No. That just that. No.
That Calvinist bit?
Well, that you, yeah. I was like, well.
Some Presbyterian roots coming out of me there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So we're running out of time, unfortunately.
Okay, so only 3 more hours.
So, I feel like there has been clarity brought to some things, or at least just discussion, which is great.
Not a lot of clarity.
No, and there is. I didn't mean to say no to that. I just think, how do we land this plane in a practical way for people that who have been filled the Holy Spirit? What should their desire be going forward? And if you feel like, if you're listening to this and you don't feel like you've ever experienced baptizing the Holy Spirit, what's next? If that's something you want to go about.
Let's pray.
Yeah. Do you want to pray like on the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. We could pray. Let's do that. I think that's a great idea.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can always flag anybody on a Sunday and they can lead people, you know, in a more one-on-one setting if somebody wanted more one-on-one ministry.
Yeah.
And then I always exhort people when there's an opportunity to get filled again, like be the first person up there.
Mm.
Like my cup is never too full to not receive just another that's infilling, good. Another fresh filling from the Lord. Because you just never know just what, like who he has coming, you know, a divine connection coming your way. And that's it's good. Not that you like need that in order to make the divine connection, not to make it sound like you have to earn anything or achieve, but you always want to have just like give yourself to as many times that you can be infilled as possible, not from a lack or, you know, but just an availability of, and a hunger. Like, so I would just say that.
Can I like overlay what you just said with John 15?
Yes.
And say, if we're coming to Jesus in any kind of way that feels like transactional, like we're using the word infilling, filling up, a metaphor that's coming to my mind is a gas tank. I'm like visiting Jesus, I get full, and then I drive away. Mm-hmm. And then I come back on Sunday or whatever and get a full tank again. That can be a metaphor that starts to like manifest in a person's mind. And that's not what we're saying.
That's really good.
What we are saying is we're called by Christ to abide in him constantly. And as we practice his presence, we discover the nearness of his voice and his leading, because the indwelling Holy Spirit wants to be speaking to us and using us all the time. But in order to get that, you have to view God through a relational lens.
That's it.
So
that's it. That's a bullseye. Wow.
If in any of this you have missed that relational lens, I would just encourage you to stop the podcast and start it over.
Because that was the first thing we said. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
And if you think about, I love that you just said that, because that can sound super transactional. Mm-hmm. But if you think of this, the Holy Spirit, like it says that we can quench him and we can grieve him and that he rejoices. And so if you think about like him having a, like the gamut of emotions, and he wants to be near, he wants to indwell, he wants to infill. He's a person who wants an outworking to be a witness. Then anytime I have to receive more of him, then I'm going to say yes to that. In fact, Lord. One of my disciplines is the second thing I do is I brew coffee in the morning. But the second thing I do is I sit down and I just say, I just like acknowledge the Lord. And then I just ask him to fill me, because I can't give what he hasn't first given me.
Wow.
So that's my first thing I do in the morning is fill me, like fill me, create in me a greater capacity to host you, fill me with yourself, fill me with your, even just the fruits of the Spirit, fill me with your power, your insight, your desires, just everything.
Wow.
And I make room to be filled daily.
Good.
So that way it is relational. And I'm not coming like with a shot in the arm or, you know, I don't need a conference. I actually am hosting and I'm meeting the Holy Spirit as in a relationship, in a relational way. So,
and then that power that we were talking about doesn't puff up. Like, oh, look at who has the most power in this church. Let's play spiritual comparison games and then get insecure when we don't feel like we have enough compared to somebody else. I think that comes out of a scarcity, transactional kind of mindset,
that's really good,
which
Benjamin.
I have had very often. So no shame if you listen or find yourself in that place. Instead, though, when we think of power or overflowing with the Holy Spirit, what that is, it's the ministry of the Lord.
It is.
Which any power exists for the sake of the building up of the church and the ministry of the gospel to the world.
Bringing heaven to earth, yes.
Amen.
All of that.
And, I had one more point. Oh, yeah. So if any of this triggers insecurity in someone who's listening, like, what have I done wrong, God? How come in my praying for this, like, I haven't been filled? That's my like a big part of my personal testimony with
really
this.
Good.
I just want to expose any lie from the enemy that God is trying to withhold his good gifts from you. Because he's not. God is a generous father who gives generously. Luke 11, I think, is where he talks about giving the Holy Spirit because he's a good father, like liberally to his children who ask of him. And in my experience, being filled with the Holy Spirit just didn't look particularly supernatural or charismatic relative to a lot of the people around me. And so I just want to create room for that, a diversity of experience. And want to say, like, if your heart is purely for the Lord, you are precisely where you're supposed to be.
That's good.
The charismata, where that Greek word comes from, is it's a gift of grace that is, by definition, unearned, not merited.
Yeah.
Which, like, the Corinthian church is the classic joke for that, because they were so dysfunctional as people, but they were totally full of power.
And gifts.
And gifted. So many gifts, and God just wanted to lavish them with it. And it's not because they earned it. So don't hear that you're not enough or any of those lies. We just want to expose them in Jesus' name and speak your identity in its place.
Wow.
And if you are hungering for more of the Lord, then seek his face and you'll be found by him. That's a promise we have in Scripture.
That's really good.
Thanks. Sorry. That was
that was for people, not just a person. That was for people. Yeah. And I was thinking of the Scripture from James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning.
Wow, yeah.
And he can only, so some people are afraid to receive the baptism of the Spirit because of some of the testimonies. And like, am I going to lose control of my body? You know, what is this going to look like? And he just, I remind people, he is a good and perfect father who is only willing to give good and perfect gifts.
Wow, that's really good.
Knowing that when you ask for the baptism of the Spirit, like that's the only gift you're getting. And it's, there's no room for interpretation in that one. Good and perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. We should pray.
Okay.
Is there anything else we need to say?
No.
I mean, my main points.
This is wonderful. I think this podcast is so good. So I'm really excited about it.
I was, to be candid, I had all these testimonies from different amazing Christians that I wanted to read, but we're out of time. So maybe we can like link something in the, description below, and I don't know, or you can even Google like Charles Finney, Jonathan Edwards. Multiple people have infillings of the Holy Spirit that in my experience, it's really helpful to read through people's descriptions of baptism of the Spirit because I see how they're similar and how they're different. And that helps me start to understand what the breadth of experience here can really be.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. On our new riverhouseministries.com website, there's a spot for show notes. So on this episode page, I'll put the show notes there that if we want to just kind of list those testimonies or resources or links, it'll be found there on our website.
That's great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And we love hearing testimonies of our own people.
Amen.
Experiencing.
Yes.
Baptisms or, you know, testimonies of Jesus in general. Yeah.
Amen.
But so, should we pray for
Let's pray like for an infilling.
Okay.
Would you mind?
I love it. No. Yeah. Lord, I just, you have just ordained every listener right now before the foundation of the world. You knew who was going to be listening to this podcast. And I just ask right now that you would put the holy crosshairs of your Spirit on every heart, and you would come right now. And I even just want to exhort or encourage, if you're listening, just say, Father, would you baptize me in the Spirit? Would you give me the gift of the Spirit? Would you fill me again? Would you fill me again, Lord? And just ask him to fill you. And he is a good and perfect Father that only gives good gifts. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. He is the gift of the Father. So you are getting the Spirit of God in just an infilling in a greater measure. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fill the listener right now. Right now, I ask that you would come and pour yourself out in greater ways for the sake of being a witness for Jesus to the ends of the earth, for the sake of having power, Lord, to destroy the works of the enemy, for the sake of having power to move in your gifts to liberate people and have them come to the knowledge of you. I pray right now, God, that you would come and fill your people up. And I even pray right now that anyone who doesn't speak in their prayer language, that you would give them the gift of their prayer language, and you would even loose tongues right now through the podcast, that there would be a sign and a wonder, that there would be a perfect union between what you're desiring and what's experienced. And I just pray right now that you would come and fill with your power, fill with your, just who you are, your nature, Spirit of God. Would you come and equip the saints with power? And I ask right now that you would also unlock so that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water, that there would be not just trickles or even like a dam that shuts up the word, that there would be a river, a flood of water coming out of our bellies that provides refreshment, that provides encounters where heaven has met earth for not only our families, but the people in the city, the people in the whoever's listening, that the people that you put in front of us, that we would have an answer and a powerful witness. God, make us powerful witnesses to the reality of you. And we just pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. And I bless the listener right now with just a greater capacity to host you and obey you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That was beautiful.
Presence of God is strong here. I hope it feels like this wherever people are listening.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, praise the
He's
Lord.
So good.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, we just glorify your name, Lord.
Yes, yeah. Lord. And we receive your reward.
We do this because we love you. Yeah, and we pray, friends, that whatever you find yourself doing right now, whether it's just folding laundry or driving to work or you're at the gym and you're like, what am I supposed to do after that? Yeah, we just pray that your day would abound in the grace and the peace of the Lord, that you would see him everywhere because you're hearing his voice and he's guiding you as you walk. Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for tuning in. If you have questions, please follow up. I'm sure we have a lot of questions that have been stirred up.
I know.
I have a lot of questions still.
So good.
It's like, why didn't Philip baptize him in the Holy Spirit? Why did the apostles have to come up? So many questions. Maybe more questions after all this than answers. And I just bless that in you and say, please share your questions with us so we can know what to do with them.
Please.
That's good.
Not that we'll have answers, but we'd like to play around in the space.
Yeah.
We'll have responses.
Megan, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
You're such a gift to our community. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. You're like a tip of a spear that is leading us in such essential depth of the more of God. Mm. So
thanks.
We celebrate your leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we're grateful. All right.
Okay.
Lord bless you.
We did it.
Shalom.
Bye.
Okay. So when Benji was praying that he's like, if you're in the gym, I feel like I saw someone in the gym who could have possibly been on a leg press machine or a leg extension machine.
Yeah.
But someone is in the gym and you're receiving, you're having an encounter with the Lord. And I would just say, lean into that. And I sense that, like, as you kind of became aware of your surroundings, the first person that the Lord draws you to, go pray for them. Because I have a sense that there's going to be, like, even an activation for healing. So maybe, like, pay attention to where the Lord would lead you and use this baptism of the Holy Spirit to go see someone set free from maybe an ailment at the gym.
Wow.
So I'm just going to say that so that there's,
say that in
case, in case there is somebody out there that would be a connection that they could make with the Lord.
Wow. Well,
yeah, and then filling of the Holy Spirit made the disciples extremely bold.
Oh, yes.
Very bold.
And glad.
And glad about their
bold
boldness.
Bold and glad.
In prison. They're just released from prison and they're praying for more boldness.
Wow. Right? And the whole church. Yeah. We could part two.
Yeah, part two. All right. Welcome.
All right. From the top.
All right. Well, our gym friend, let us know who you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lord bless you. And for the second time,
bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Deep Waters podcast. If you have comments, questions, or concerns, maybe even a recipe or two, please send them to deepwaters@riverhouseministries.com. And if you would like to join us at Riverhouse for Sunday service, we meet at the Vineyard Boise at 4 p.m. We'd love to see you there. We cannot do this podcast without a little help from our friends. Our theme music was written and recorded by the Riverhouse Worship Team. Production is done by Jordan Soderman. Special thanks to Isaiah Guerrero for our artwork. Benjamin Olson writes and co-hosts with me, Jace Langley, and I also edit this bad boy. If you like this podcast and want to keep going on this journey of discipleship with us, please leave us a review wherever you listen to the Deep Waters podcast. May Christ be with you wherever you go.